inside the 9 o'clock hour on the Fan in New York. Let's get right back to it. We've got a ton of calls, and I'm trying to get to you guys. Thanks for holding. Let's go to Keith in Brooklyn. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Keith, can you hear me, buddy?
I got you. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, no problem. First of all, if you don't mind, I'd like to congratulate you on what you've done, going from Uber to having your own show on The Fan, mm-hmm. filling in for Susan. And you're so humble and earnest. It's such a pleasure to listen to you. So kudos to you.
God humbled me again. I'm sitting here with stitches and hernia tape and bandage on it. I have 700 Lyft Uber rides. I was humbled doing that. I'm blessed to get all these opportunities, but God has humbled me 100 times. So I have good perspective, I guess.
That's awesome. So we're both passionate Yankee fans, and we want to win a World Series this year. And my only concern is, and again, I'm like you, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You got great chemistry. Leave it alone. However, I'm very concerned. And again, I love these guys, LeMahieu. I love Rizzo. I love Torres. And I'm not being overly critical, but it's almost June 15th, and they're hitting 230. So just for a second, I'm hoping they turn it around. But could we explore possibilities if they don't? Because if we want to win a World Series, pitching is great, and pitching can do it, even if we stick with those guys. But we got guys like Ben Rice in the minor leagues, lefty, pull hitter, first baseman. We got a kid at second base, Caleb Durbin, 20 stolen bases, hitting 300.
I was waiting for someone to mention Caleb Durbin. Check me out. Those guys are all a part of the Yankees' future. When you hear Hal Steinbrenner say it's not sustainable for us to have this payroll, but just, the writing is on the wall. Read between the lines. The Yankees farm system, they have a lot of young guys on the way. This is the end for Anthony Rizzo, DJ LeMahieu, maybe even Giancarlo Stanton. You know what I'm saying? Those guys are aging out. They're trying to get these guys to the Fall Classic this year, and then that's it. But, I don't think that this is a year that you see Caleb Durbin, Ramirez, Rice, Spencer Jones, Dominguez, maybe, because we saw him for 8 games last year and he had like 5 home runs. But, those guys are waiting in the wings to be the next baby bombers to fill in the blanks with the Gerrit Cole contract, the Judge contract, the Juan Soto contract.
No, I'm with you, but it's kind of like a multitask because, yes, I'm not saying throw them right in there, but what I'm saying is I don't want to get to the postseason because I want Judge and everyone to be healthy and to produce, and the explosion of Soto in the lineup, I still feel that I'm a little concerned if those guys don't turn it around, and I'm not saying they won't, but however, it's June 15th and their skills are suffering. I would love to finish up the year with them. I would love Rizzo to hit even 25 homers, 250, LeMahieu 270, 280, and that should be enough. And if Torres can even hit 250 with 15 homers, but I'm just saying multitask, which means bring someone up, sprinkle them in, see what he could do. Yep. I mean, Dominguez in center and Judge to first. I know that's crazy, but Judge at first.
No.
But we got to keep Judge healthy.
You need Judge in the outfield. He's still a great defender.
No, I know. But if he gets injured, we're dead ducks.
No, we're not. And they're going to keep him healthy.
No, if he doesn't get injured.
Listen, thanks for the call, Keith. I just got to get this in. The answer is not bringing up these young kids with no Major League Baseball experience that haven't played in the show. How many times this season have I said that the Yankees, Brian Cashman, have learned from 2022? I remember watching a young Oswald Peraza being thrust in to the ALCS as a fresh-ass rookie to play shortstop against the eventual World Series champions. It made no sense to me, but there was nothing else that we could do because we went with a stopgap shortstop and IKF who had nothing but problems fielding routine ground balls in October. And they were telling you during the season, he's one of the best guys out there. Yeah, he had some range, he made some good plays, but he couldn't do the routine. They're not going to do that again. The answer is the trade deadline. They can get you a utility infielder. They can get you somebody that can possibly play third base, first base, maybe two guys. There will be at least two bullpen arms added. The outfield is fine. Judge is not playing first base anytime soon. The answer is not these young kids that we're watching dominate against the Rumble Ponies or the Yard Goats. They can't play in October against the best of the best. You know that. You have to know that. You have to know that. Paul is in Fort Lee. Paul, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you been? All right?
Yeah, I'm, you know, hanging in there.
Yeah, don't let Jackson jump on your stomach for the next couple months.
I've kept him away, but my cat does not care. My cat is more of a problem than my son.
So I got two things. The Yankee reliever, the closer role. I think, is there an option that Luis Hill, they would move him into that role and take, like, Clay Holmes just gives me agita every time. I know he hasn't given up a home run.
I heard Lugie talking about putting Luis Hill in the bullpen, and I know Matt Blake spoke on it, and I'll pull up some of that from a couple days ago. Listen, Luis Hill right now is the best pitcher in the American League. He's in line to start the All-Star game. If you're a Yankee fan, you should be hoping that he starts in October. You should be hoping that it's Cole game one, Luis Hill game two, Rodon game three. You know what I'm saying? I understand he's got an innings limit. We don't know what it is. He's coming back from Tommy John. I had the thought earlier in the season when there was no room for Cole, hey, put him in the bullpen. He's a strikeout guy. He's a power pitcher. He'd be great. But, like, this guy has been so good. That's before I saw him, throw 14 strikeouts. I was calling the game in Yankee Stadium when he broke El Duque's record. El Duque threw out first pitch. I got to meet El Duque outside the Yankees clubhouse that day. I was like, this is nuts. I didn't know that Luis Hill was going to be an ace. Now that he's become an ace, you keep him on that track to be a starter. You don't mess with the bullpen stuff because that's how he could get hurt again. That's how he could be neutralized and not be what he is. You want that young man pitching as a starter in October. They can make trades to get a power pitcher, maybe another option as a closer, and not for nothing. Clay Holmes is their closer. They gave him a whole light show and entrance. He is one of the best closers in baseball. Yes, he takes us on a ride too much. Yes, you have shortness of breath and tightness in your chest when he's on the mound, but like when he gets it done, it's great. When he doesn't get it done, it's about this infield. That's what I was saying earlier. I can't have Clay Holmes with, you know, relying on contact and plays being made where he's going to have to field his position. Rizzo is a step slow. He's got a field. You know, like Gleyber Torres could mess it up at any second. Like I need better infielders if we're going to expect Clay Holmes to get us those last three outs.
We definitely need better execution in the infield. Yeah. And my other point is people don't really talk about it much, but Danny Hurley signing, staying with UConn, you know, it's like he's a local guy, part of his father's. His father had so many opportunities to leave St. Anthony's, and he never wanted to leave St. Anthony's. He had that legacy going. As a local person, local athlete.
I had Bob Hurley Sr. on the Fan. I live in Jersey City. I've been over there. He's still over there teaching kids, young kids, how to dribble, how to shoot, how to pass, how to close out, how to play defense. I love the Hurley family.
I grew up with a kid named Lawrence Frank, who happens to be director of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Clippers. Mm-hmm. And Bob Hurley was like, that kid would come and watch me and write everything down. He had a notebook and write everything down. Danny, you know, God bless Danny for staying, because I think he made the right decision. And, you know, I had the unfortunate history of playing against both Bobby and Danny. And they lit us up.
Of course.
Danny scored 36 points. We were down by one at halftime. He scored 36 points. Bobby's coach Hurley said to me, that was the greatest game my son ever played. But, you know, it's good for Danny to stay at UConn. And, you know, it's a great local story.
Yeah, we
like
need
you,
them.
Being on the Fan.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the call, Paul, and giving me the opportunity to talk. I had Bob on in the winter, and I used to live at 232 Grand Street, down the street from St. Peter's Prep, and I've been in Jersey City now. Now I don't live far from the church where St. Anthony's used to be. I grew up rooting for Duke basketball, Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner and them, I was too young for them, but I know the stories. And, you know, you mentioned Lawrence Frank. I'm a Nets fan. Obviously, he got to coach the Brooklyn Nets back then when I thought the Brooklyn Nets were going to win a chip. Never happened. And then, you know, when you talk about, you know, Dan Hurley now, I had surgery Monday. When I emerged from the anesthesia on Monday, I'm laying in the hospital bed, and the two guys, they're not doctors, they're, you know, medical people, but, you know, they asked me if I'm all right, and I'm like, yeah, did Dan Hurley take the Lakers job? And they're like, what? And I'm like, I don't know, I was a little loopy, but I went under, and that morning I had been watching ESPN in the hospital bed. And they were talking about Dan Hurley's decision, and I knew. I'm like, you guys don't know? I'm like, did Dan Hurley take the job? Nobody knows, and you guys aren't sports fans? And they just think that I'm, like, you know, crazy. I'm like, I'm not crazy. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine. But when I came back to life from being, you know, put under, I just knew in my heart of hearts, I'm like, he's not taking that job. What he's built in stores, going back to back, go three-peat. And he spoke to the fact that, like, they were talking about him for the Kentucky job. And he didn't want that Kentucky job. He wasn't trying to go to Kentucky. And then when the numbers came out that they were offering him less than what Monty Williams gets paid to coach the Detroit Pistons, no, there was no way. And there was also pictures of Dan Hurley and his wife at Madison Square Garden at the Billy Joel concert. And I just read an article earlier today in the Post about how his wife was like, what are you doing? You know, our life is so good right now. We've got everything we need. He's staying with the Huskies. Good. The Hurley family, they are legendary around here. And we need him to stay at UConn for the Big East, for Seton Hall, for St. John's. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We can talk basketball. We can talk football. We can talk baseball. Are you guys watching the Stanley Cup? I'm not. I'm watching the Mets. It's 2-1, bottom of the eighth. Ooh, DJ Stewart just got rang up. Man, these umpires, when we come back, we're going to talk about these umpires in baseball. I cannot stand the ump show. KM to AM returns right after this. Right back at it on the Fan in New York. We're halfway through another five-hour KM to AM. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for calling in. And 888-808-1019 is the new number to dial, and we're going to get right back into your calls right now. Edwin Diaz has come out. It's top of the ninth. He will get his opportunity to do his thing. So far, so good. He's got one out, looking for two more. 2-1 Marlins. And, man, you're hoping that he doesn't give up anything here and the Mets can score at least one run, tie it, force extras, or two runs and walk it off on the night that you get your closer back. All right, back to the phones we go. I think everybody pretty much wants to talk about the Yankees, except Maurice in Audubon, New Jersey. What's up, Mo? You're on the Fan.
How you doing, Keith? Huge fan. That's Audubon, New Jersey, to be exact.
Audubon, that's South Jersey, right?
Yes, it is. 6 minutes from the Walt Whitman Bridge. And guess what? I'm a diehard Giants fan.
Yeah, you're in Eagles land. You're in Bird land.
I'm in the heartbeat. Yes, I am. I'll let them know, too. We got four, they got one. Welcome to the party.
Yeah, you ever see Nick Sirianni? He was just talking about how he runs into Giants fans and says, oh, we got your best player. Not Dexter Lawrence. Saquon Barkley.
You know what? For $57 million, I got love for Saquon, but I didn't want to sign that check.
Yeah, they can have him.
Most easily replaceable position in football, but I want to talk about Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? All the Daniel Jones hate, we don't know what we have. Because we've been talking about the offensive line for the past four coaches. Giant Nation, we've been talking about the O-line for the past four coaches. So this is what I need from Daniel Jones. I need 30 touchdowns. Throw it, run it, hand it off to a groundhog. I need 30 touchdowns. He threw 24 his rookie year. He ran for two. The year we went to the playoffs in 2022, he threw for 15, ran for seven. He gives me 30 touchdowns. We got a quarterback. If he does it, in the words of the great Tiki Barber, he's dead to me. That's where I'm at.
Thanks for the call, Murray. Daniel Jones, do I have to pull up his football reference? 30 touchdowns, maybe. He's got to be healthy to get there. I'm not going to say he can't do it. 30 touchdowns is, I guess, I don't know. I think there was a bar that I was setting last year at 25. Edwin Diaz, solid. Not for nothing. He just got out of that inning. What, he just faced three batters? Let me go to box score there. He looked pretty good just from me glancing and also trying to figure out what's the max total, you know, touchdowns Daniel Jones has had in a single season. Edwin Diaz, I know he struck out at least one hitter that I saw. Now my computer's freezing. Whack. Well, at least I have a phone as a backup. Edwin Diaz comes in, LEDs, trumpets, he's back. And in his return, Tim Anderson grounds out, Otto Lopez strikes out, Christian Betancourt grounds out. And now we go to the bottom of the ninth to see if the Mets can pull out the win. 888-808-1019, 1019, like FM, Daniel Jones, most touchdowns in a season. I don't think it's close to 30. I know somebody is listening that's a huge Giants fan. It's like, it's 24. Daniel Jones had his most passing touchdowns in a season in his rookie season in 2019 with 24 touchdowns. So you're telling me that you need 30 from Daniel Jones this year? I'm not going to tell you it can't happen. You should hope that. You should go into football season with the most optimism and hope until it's taken away from you. Until you don't have it. But right now it's baseball season, and I'd like to talk to the Yankee fans. We've got all Yankee fans lined up as we get to the halfway point of my five-hour show. Let's go out to Staten Island. What's up, Mike? You got it?
Hey, Keith. How are you? Big fan of the show. Hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good enough to go. You know, it's not ideal, but I'm all right to do what I got to do here.
I wanted to place a scenario in front of you about Juan Soto, if you hear me out.
Okay.
So let's fast forward this summer. Soto's having a great season. He keeps it up. He has a Carlos Beltran, Houston Astros-like playoff run, and the Yankees win the World Series this year. Now, the winter comes, and he gets an offer from a team like the Cubs or the San Francisco Giants, not a direct rival of the New York Yankees. And he leaves in free agency for a little bit more money than the Yankees offered. Is he booed next season? How is he remembered as a Yankee? And I'm going to hang up and just want to hear what you think.
Yeah.
Have a good one. Feel better. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mike. No. Yankee fans love this guy. And I don't think that he goes anywhere, but we can play the game. Like I was talking about earlier, I'm watching Sunday Night Baseball. That's the one game out of three I didn't go to. Had to stay home and be a family man. And I was so disappointed to hear, "We want Soto." Because I come out of 203. I come out of the culture of the Bleacher Creatures where we chant the individual player's name in the first inning for the roll call. They acknowledge. And then after that, it's Yankee baseball. After that, we are rooting for whoever is coming out of the bullpen, whoever is coming out of the dugout, whoever is on the mound. And when I heard Yankee fans chanting, "We want Soto," I'm like, man, there are so many just like, that's why I said nobody can be the voice of Yankee fans. Not me, not anybody on this station, not anybody that does podcasts. There's too many. And I don't know who represents the drunks that are there chanting, "We want Soto." Like, that's not what it's about. Soto's been here for 2.5 months. That's not what it's about. It's about getting the win. We play today, we win today, that's it. Trent Grisham is in there. You pick him up. You don't go against your own team. You don't go against it. And I don't care what Trent Grisham's batting average was. I love that. I love that. He didn't just hear those chants. He felt those chants. And he channeled it and turned it into a homer. So Yankee fans love Juan Soto. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've been to 14 games this year, and I've watched him. I've watched his interaction. Anytime he gets a chance, there's a break in the game to turn around and interact with the fans. He loves it. Yankee fans love this guy. If he does take the money elsewhere, whether the Yankees win a World Series or not, and he comes back, he will be cheered. He will not be booed. But how can I say that? I can't speak for all Yankee fans. There could be a pocket of Yankee fans, 20 Yankee fans in a section that are like, boo, you know. You can't control the public. It's a public place. 888-808-1019. Bobby in Glenhead on the Fan in New York.
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
Hanging out, trying to see if the Mets can get it done. They got a runner on. No outs.
Yep. Yeah, no, I know. I'm a diehard Mets fan. I just wanted to call in and let you know you're not going to be a John Sterling, but I think you're going to be amazing as a Yankee announcer. You did a great job, and I hope you have future endeavors that succeed you in every way possible.
Well, that's nice, Bobby.
Big fan.
Thank you.
Fan. And yep.
That's all you called to say?
That's all I have. That's all I have, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. I just want to congratulate you, and you're doing great stuff. I love hearing from you, and I love listening to you. And I can't wait for the future.
Thank you, sir. LGYM. Let's go Yankee Mets. Hopefully they pull this off. And you're 100% correct. I'm not going to be John Sterling. No one is. Not Justin Shackle, Emmanuel Barbari, Ricky Ricardo, Brendan Burke, anyone else that sits in that chair. Do you understand that John came in and did it his way? And that became the way that we listened to Yankee games for decades? There are a ton of young Yankee fans that really only know him. It is high. It is far. Like he did it his own way. I come on the air. The Yankees win. The Yes Network still playing Yankeeography. Hello, I'm John Sterling. I love John because I love the Yankees. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not trying to be John. I never was trying to be John. I was not trying to be a play-by-play guy. I didn't do play-by-play. I did color commentary. And I did it for the first time ever. I sat in for Susan with Shaq. And, you know, Shaq helped pull me through. And if I get another opportunity to do it again, I'll be better. I'll be better. I hope that I'll have a little bit more time to prepare. But, you know, it's fight or flight. When you get thrown into the fire, man, it's sink or swim. I loved it. It was nerve-wracking. It was a crazy experience for me. But at the same time, like, I did what I could. I tried to be myself, and I got through 2 days, and I took it all head on, not knowing exactly how it was going to go. And man, that's a dream come true for me if I never get to do it again. But now that I have done it, I'll be better the next time around. And I, like I said, it's not something I was shooting for. It's not something I even thought was in striking distance. But hey, once you get in the building here, once you're on the Fan, once you actually like do enough shows where you have fans, like it's incredible to me that I have fans. That Yankee fans are also fans of me. That Yankee fans at that stadium show me love. I've been in that stadium so many times, nobody said a word to me. Except, where's your ticket? You show me your ticket. You're supposed to be in this section, you know? So, like, I appreciate it, Bobby. I'm not trying to be John. No one can be John. Shout out to everybody getting an opportunity to call games. Emmanuel being 25 years old, getting to call Yankee games. I'm so proud of that kid. You know, he's produced shows for me. He's done everything in here. He grinded his way to get that opportunity. Now he's calling the Yankee games on the road. Sitting with Susan Shackle, a pro's pro. Look at JD Martinez. Yo! That's it. The Mets win. JD Martinez has a flair for the dramatic, especially when it comes to hitting those homers at Citi Field. He just walked it off for the Mets with a two-run bomb. 3-2, Mets win. That's amazing. The amazing make it happen Mets. That's a huge win. 888-808-1019 as the Mets fans are going to come in. Yankee fans are on the line. We're going to have to fly through the Yankee calls. Please hold. I will get to you. Yeah. Mets win. They win the game. Walk-off win. JD Martinez, first walk-off homer of his career. And that's the series. And that changes the narrative some. They changed the lineup again some, and can't lose to the Marlins. You were down, but one thing I'll say about these make-it-happen Mets, you can't turn the game off. You can't count them out. Something crazy is going to happen in the late innings, whether they blow it or whether they win it, and they win again. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Spoiler alert, we're about to talk Yankees. There's a bunch of Yankee fans on hold, so let's get as many calls in as we can before the Mets fans weigh in on, I don't know, Brett Beatty playing second base, balling in AAA. How they feel about this team now. I don't know where the standings are, but somebody's going to call me. Let's go to the standings real quick before we go to the phone. Somebody's going to call me and say, hey, not for nothing, man. Looking at the wild card standings, the Mets are only 3 games out. My guy John in Masbeth back on the Fan. What up, John?
Hey, Keith. I wanted to ask you a question. Aaron Judge today went 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. Should we be worried he's burnt out and washed up and past his prime and the next 7 years of his contract is going to be a mess? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, he's no Barry Bonds. He's no Ted Williams. He's no Babe Ruth. He's no Ichiro, Tony Gwynn. We got to see his postseason numbers. Aaron Judge, he's a strikeout. You know, what you could say everything that you got to possibly say. I put respect on Aaron Judge's name. It's baseball. There's going to be some days where you don't have it, and the team's got to pick you up. But if anybody needs to get picked up, it's Aaron Judge because he's carried for the most part. You know, like I said, I've come around on. You know, I never said Aaron Judge was washed. I never said Aaron Judge was finished, and that his contract was going to be. What I was saying in April, it was literally April 23rd. When I had a 5-hour KM to AM and it got clipped, I was like, yo, where's the guy that hits the moonshots? Where's the guy that's the most dominant for? Like, we've seen this guy so much, right? The quote, and it got viewed a lot on Instagram and Twitter. The quote was, all rise. Where's the guy that in the stadium, they try to get your attention because he's going to hit a bomb 400, 500 feet? I said, did the Monstar zap his powers? Because this isn't Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge shut me up. He shut every other critic up in baseball. People were trying to break down his swing, his stance. We were talking about his merch that he wears, his Jordan merch, his like Lady Liberty color sleeve and shoulder guard, shin guard, cleats. Put respect on Aaron Judge's name. It is what it is. You know he's the best player in the game, best hitter in the game, and from what I've seen. Being closer to Yankee Stadium in the last decade than ever, being in the stadium and watching this guy play, he's the best player I've ever been able to watch. And I get it. You know, I watch Ken Griffey and I watch Barry Bonds and I watch Derek Jeter as a kid growing up, but I did not watch every at-bat, every game like I've been able to watch Aaron Judge since 2017, 2016. I'm just putting respect on Judge's name. He deserves it. He deserves it. And it, you know, people can say whatever they want. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. There are numbers out there that just are ridiculous. And last night we were getting deep into the conversation comparing eras, which you literally can't do. It's impossible to compare eras. But like, I don't want to hear someone called and they said, well, you know, Aaron Judge now has access to trainers and protein shakes. Babe Ruth was eating hot dogs. And I'm like, protein shakes? Babe Ruth could eat 20 hot dogs before the game and go out and hit 3 homers because he wasn't facing anybody. He was facing his plumber. He was facing his next door neighbor. He was facing any Joe Schmo that was throwing the ball over the mound. Like Judge is facing the best of the best. Where's the stat that they had the other day? That clip from Yes Network. 25 plus homers and 20 plus doubles through first 69 team games. Babe Ruth had 28 homers and 20 doubles in 1921. Aaron Judge has 25 homers and 21 doubles in 2024. And in Aaron Judge's defense, it's much harder to do it now than it was back then. And please don't call me to tell me about what Babe Ruth, because you weren't alive and you don't know. But I'm looking at the pitch clock era. Hey, hurry up. Get back in the box. I'm looking at how terrible these umps are. I said we were going to get to that, too, with the ump show. I'm looking at social media, the pressure. You know, Judge going off for 62, having live cut-ins. Yankee fans, him being the Yankee captain, how hard it is to do it as a Yankee now. I just don't, I respect Babe Ruth, but I look at Judge and I'm like, nah, if Judge was playing, if this human being, this 6'7", 280 robot of a human being was playing back then with Babe Ruth, they would have probably tried to burn him at the stake. They would have probably tried to arrest him, tie him up. They wouldn't have let him play. They would have thought he was an alien. He would have hit everything that he saw out. He would have put up ridiculous numbers. 888-808-1019. Dave is in West Iceland. Dave, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? How are you?
All right, hanging out. Good time tonight.
I just wanted to let you know, doing a great job. I want to talk about Soto. If we win the chip, we give him all the money, and he leaves. He's not a fraud?
I don't know if it's a fraud thing, because all you hear is, oh, he's going to free agency. Scott Boras wants the most money. If we win a World Series and...
And give him the money.
And well, are you saying we match the offer? Like, he takes a similar offer somewhere else?
Yeah. At that
he's
point,
not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He's not dumb. He's not a dummy. He's not going to take... If Hal Steinbrenner says, sure, you know, we'll match the $600 million from Steve Cohen and the Mets... Then Soto stays a Yankee.
Agreed. Real reason for my call, watching you since KM to AM, was saying one day he's going to get a shot, can't wait. You're rocking it. You should get that seat. You should get that seat. You're the voice of our generation. I'm 37. I love our previous announcers, but you're the voice of the Yankees, brother.
I'm not trying to get that seat. I'm not lobbying for it.
We are, though. We are. You got to do it for us, man, for the better of the people. If not, we need you in the afternoon. Love you. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Dave. I'm good. I'm just like, I'm blessed to have this opportunity to connect with you guys, to be on this radio station, to have my own five-hour show here and there, and even to come on after the Yankee post game at night, right? I do my thing. Like I said, I'm standing on business this year. Like, I'm proving that I more than belong. You know, there were definitely a lot of questions about me when I first came in. There were definitely a lot of skeptical people. There's people that have called to say, hey, when you first came on, I didn't like you. And I've said, hey, when I first came on, I didn't like myself. I used to go and listen to the podcast till 4 or 5 in the morning and be like, you suck. You said this wrong. You're so dumb. People probably think you don't know. And you misspoke here. Got to stop being nervous. Got to be more prepared. Got to look at that. Like, I just was picking myself apart. I'm my biggest critic. So, like, that's why a hater don't faze me. Anything anybody says to me online, I just laugh at. Like, yeah, okay. Nobody is harder on me than myself. But, man, I appreciate you guys. It's real. It's authentic. And I think that's why I win. You know, like, you can't make it up. My path, the way that I got here, it's organic. And the support that I get, you know, coming out of 203, man, I legit was about to cry. You guys have heard me cry on the air. Obviously, the emotions of losing my brother and talking about Kobe Bryant. And then, you know, even that night, Sam from Monmouth County called to share the story about how he lost his brother. And when he was going to visit his brother, he would only get in the car when I was on air because I was the only thing that could, like, clear his mind. Man, when I was sitting in that chair and they do the roll call and I hear Keith McPherson, all I could say was, oh, wow. And I had to move the microphone from my mouth. I just was like, I was about to lose it, man. I'm like, this is reality. Like, this is real. So, you know, I'm glad, too, that I get to, like, share these stories with you guys and connect with you guys. We're watching the Mets right here. And, you know, J.D. Martinez, I just had a thought. I'm like, when I first met Spike Eskin and Spike asked me to meet him for lunch, you know, down the street from here at a vegan place. You guys know how they make fun of Spike calling him a vegan hipster. There's a vegan place down the street. I barely had the time to do it because the Yankees were playing the Red Sox in a doubleheader at the stadium. And I'm like that, bro. Like, I like to go to the game. I like to be at the stadium. So I told Spike, yeah, I can meet you, but I got to get on the train and get to the Bronx. I'm going to the doubleheaders, Yankees-Red Sox. And J.D. Martinez just homered. And after I met with Spike, I didn't have a lot of time. I ended up missing, like, the first inning. But Spike was like, have you ever seen the station? I'm like, no. He's like, you want to see it? I'm like, hell yeah. I showed him my keychain that I got when Mark Melusis showed up to the Fan Cave in 2014. He's like, you've had that keychain on you for all these years. You got to come see the station. I'm like, all right, let's do that. And this was 2021, that summer, and no one was in here because we were coming out of COVID and people were working remote. The only other person that was in here was Craig Carton. And Craig sees me, and I have on a Yankee bandana and my Yankee gear. And Craig thinks that, like, I showed up to my interview here with Spike in all Yankee gear. And Craig takes that to air. He's like, my kind of guy. Showed up with a Yankee bandana on, Yankee jersey. I'm like, nah, dude. I was going to the Yankee game. But the only time that I could find, you know, to meet Spike in his schedule, I'm like, all right, I'll compromise or whatever. I'll miss the first inning. I go to the game. I'm sitting in Delta. Jordan Montgomery's pitching. J.D. Martinez hits a foul ball up to Delta, and I get it. I still got that ball. I knew it was a special day. I'm like, this is a sign. 888-808-1019. KM to AM, we got 2 hours left. Call me up. I'll be right back.